You've entered a parallel dimension. A dimension filled with all that is strange and supernatural. A dimension called the Fringe Radio Network. Continue at your own risk. Now, it's time for another journey into prophecy and the supernatural, as we have another spiritual encounter with Casper McCloud.
Listening to Spiritual Encounters on the Fringe Radio Network. And now, here's your lion-hearted host, Pastor Casper.
Welcome to another edition of Spiritual Encounters, and I'm your lion-hearted host, Pastor Casper, and I'm very delighted to announce that tonight's show, we've got the amazing Anthony Patch with us on. I think a lot of us would consider Anthony one of the leading experts on what's really going on in science, things like CERN. And so the guys over there in CERN, I just want to share that I think there's a lot of stark raving mad scientists being heavily influenced there by the kingdom of poisonous thinkers. And just as people over here, maybe over there, they drink and they get drunker. Now we've got thinkers, they get thunker. So it's my privilege here and pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Anthony Patch. Welcome to Spiritual Encounters.
Well, thank you, Casper. It's great to be with you again. We met in Knoxville back in October, and I look forward to us getting together again for another Hear the Watchman conference on the 31st of March. So we're on a roll, my friend.
We are indeed. You did an amazing presentation. I think everybody was simply on the edge of their seat simply by the stuff you shared, especially when you started explaining D-waves and quantum physics and stuff that goes over most of our heads. But you made it's so profound, and you made it simple enough that we walked away going, oh, I understand it now. So maybe you can elaborate a little bit tonight on some of those things for people, I'm sure, very interested in what's going to happen with that. And obviously, the Hear the Watchman is in Dallas, Texas. People ought to go to hearthewatchman.com, sign up now, because you're going to get to hear Anthony Patch give some amazing information, along with Ale Marzulli, Russ Distar, Linda Haas, and Lisa Haven. Pastor Paul Begley will be there, and Derek and Sherry Gilbert, a lot of the Skywatch TV people. So it's going to be an amazing event. So give us like a briefing, maybe. I know I've asked you before, like how you got started doing this, if you grew up in a scientific home full of researchers.
Well, actually, I was introduced into the world of nuclear physics when I was in the military in West Germany. And I was involved with some nuclear warheads there. And I heard about CERN, which was sort of over the hill. And I've always been fascinated from a hobby level with physics. But along about early 1980s, I really got into the deeper aspects of physics, more occulted side of particle physics and quantum computers, specifically with D-Wave and with CERN. And that led me to the writing and the public speaking and where we are today.
So for people listening that might not understand what D-waves are, maybe you can give us an explanation. Of you're talking about a computer that, I think what I remember is you saying it could calculate like 10,000 answers a second. It can do all sorts of amazing things besides make coffee and tea for you at the same time.
Yeah, it's an interdimensional computer. quite literally, by their own admission, by their own public statements. They are accessing other dimensions and extracting, as they say, resources. Tied in with D-Wave, tied in with CERN. The quantum computers we're talking about are adiabatic quantum computers using qubits instead of transistors. Now, the tie to CERN is CERN's stated goal is to open an interdimensional gateway or portal. The computers are involved in that opening and the control of that opening of that portal and the communications that will take place. And from our background as Christians, you and I, we understand that the opening of the abyss in Revelation 9 is the result of opening this portal.
Mm. So I think I wrote about it in my book that I gave you, that the head of CERN said, you know, we might send something into another dimension or something from another dimension might come into our dimension, which means to me they've already accomplished that somewhat. They know that can happen now. So how soon, I think a lot of people are really concerned with how things in the future are going to, you know, play out. I mean, people in UK are, you know, really concerned with, you know, they voted for Brexit and now they're trying to, well, we don't like the way you voted, you know, and they're doing that over here. I mean, how does that all kind of play into what's going on with CERN? And you said, I mean, there's a lot of other colliders. I mean, that's just the major one. Like, I think I read in your book, is it Revising Reality? There's like 100 nations contributed money to build CERN. I mean, we're talking major globalization plans here. So how do you see this unfolding?
It is the mechanism for the new world. Image of the beast. This is the raising of the Antichrist. This is bringing forth the dead spirits from the ancient times. The ancient times, specifically, we can mention the Egyptians and Osiris. One thing that would be of interest, I think, to your listeners is something that has not been revealed to the public is that the head of Osiris, the actual DNA of Osiris, is at CERN. And the purpose of the head of Osiris being located in the north area target, the center point of the main ring of the collider, is to use the collider not only to open right below CERN, it's built over the doorway, but to reincarnate Osiris, to raise the dead spirits. So this gives an indication as to the spiritual aspects of what is going on with particle physics.
That is most strange. Again, as you and I talked before once about, you know, occultism, just simply something that hides the truth. I mean, like if you saw an eclipse and we were looking in a telescope and I go, hey, look at this planet. And then suddenly there's an eclipse and you look and you go, what are you talking about? I don't see an eclipse. You know, just it hides the truth.
Yes.
Science seems like it's actually, you know, being used as a religion now. I know I joked with you before about science is the belief of in the ignorance of experts. So,
yeah, the scientists of today are really the alchemists of old, and they are the priesthood of the new religion of technocracy. The ultimate goal here is humans, but really, in the hubris of Satan, he believes that he can kill God and God's angels, and that he can ascend to the throne of heaven. And this is borne out in Scripture. So the unfortunate thing is that an awful lot of brilliant people working at CERN and at D-Wave, as we mentioned, are operating under a grand delusion, a grand deception, and in many cases they are overt to not only the Black Sun, which is Saturn, but also to Satan himself.
I remember meeting several guys that you know claimed that they came out of the Illuminati and said that the Illuminati was basically teaching them that at Armageddon they were going to battle against God and they were going to win and they were going to throw Christ into a pit for 1,000 years. I mean, they've got it all backwards, right? So, do you see how the guys? You said CERN was really a weapons development program, that they're working on developing a way to eliminate angelic beings, possibly? Is that what's really going on here?
Yeah, there's a multi-layered agenda with CERN in the aspects of talking about an interdimensional portal. But if we step back from that, the technology lends itself to weapons development. If you go back into the history of CERN, when they broke ground in primary purpose was the modeling of nuclear warheads, the yield of nuclear warheads within a computer rather than testing above ground or below ground. So CERN has always been a weapons development program. I'll give you one quick example. There's a brand new accelerator that they just connected to the Large Hadron Collider. It's a short 30-meter long linear accelerator using plasma technology. It's called the awake fields to accelerate particles. This is a directed energy weapon and a kinetic energy weapon. So yes, most definitely, they believe, the Illuminati, et cetera, believe in the hubris of Satan, as I call it, that they can actually defeat God with their weapons, with their technology.
Well, the Lord did tell us that, you know, the devil suffered brain damage right from the beginning there. So that's just quite bizarre. But I mean, the scripture does indicate that. I mean, he's not in his right mind. So and all the followers, they're not in the right mind. In fact, the scripture even tells us, if I recall, there's a place where it says they're going to be in a place of torment at some point, and then they're going to beat up on the devil, going, wait a minute, you're the reason we're here. We followed you. You led us into this darkness and this abyss. So it doesn't end well for them at all.
No, it doesn't. And I think that my mission that I share with you is that we try to bring evidence. We try to bring the hard reality, the facts, to the attention of people who are not saved, so that they understand the days that we're in. And the simple, you can go to the dark or you can go to the light. You can go with Satan or you can go with Jesus. And all you have to do is open the book of Revelation to see what.
Clearly, the Lord Jesus said, you know, you're either for me or you're against me. It's pretty black and white when it comes down to it. Yep. So, I did want to ask you about things like Nikola Tulsa, because I know you studied him, you understand what's going on there, and he seemed like possibly a whole century ahead of his time. You got like, I remember one of my childhood heroes was Leonardo da Vinci, who was another person that seemed like the genius was just like so far beyond, you know, his time zone. And yet I look at it and it's like a lot of the great minds, they were using the wrong way. They developed weapons and they went down the wrong road. I mean, where the Lord tells us, you know, you can be a genius as well. Just put on the mind of Christ and think the way he thinks about things. And then supernatural signs and wonders and healings and miracles will happen in your life as you deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow him. I think that's a much better equation. But
I agree, and I would hold myself out as an example of an average person who turned to Christ when I was 16, and who, not because I'm special, but because I turned over the reins, I gave myself to Christ. And as a result, he took me down a path I had never intended to go, and that was writing and public speaking. And I think it's indicative of what happened with people like Leonardo da Vinci and with Tesla, who obviously are very intelligent people. But the problem is they turn to the dark side insofar as their seeking of knowledge. They began to commune with spirits. They went to the dark side for forbidden knowledge. And the knowledge that we see coming from da Vinci or Tesla and the Nazis in general in World War II, the far advanced technology is forbidden knowledge that we were not supposed to have. And so it's not hard to understand why it's 100 years advanced beyond the normal procession of scientific research. If you go back to the turn of the century in 1900, we barely had automobiles. And all of a sudden, we're talking about interdimensional portals. So it's indicative of the fact that this is information derived from the other side, from the fallen angels, that we are not supposed to have access to. And it is an existential threat to the human race.
It is indeed. One of my neighbors, I live in an equestrian community, and being an equestrian is a logical place to be. But one of my neighbors was in his late 80s, and he remembers when everybody just rode horses around here. I mean,
yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, well, I think if we still all would ride horses, we'd all be a lot more stabilized.
Nice play on words, stabilized. Yeah.
But it wasn't that long ago. I mean, really, like Daniel said, in the last days before Christ returns, we're going to have knowledge. I think you called it one time a fire hose of knowledge. I mean, it's almost certainly information overload. I mean, there's like so much incredible knowledge just being circulating. We're overwhelmed with it every day.
We really are. And it also, I think, it demonstrates that we are experiencing the birth pangs, if you will, intellectually, information overload. The increased pace of information, I think, is on a parallel to the increase in the birth pangs that we're seeing around the planet.
Well, everything the Lord said was going to be happening is now happening. I mean, we've got the wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines. I mean, how would you know back then? I mean, if an earthquake happened on one side of the world, you couldn't possibly know about it on the other side. And now we know within your cell phone pings. Yeah. It tells you, there's an earthquake in Hawaii, Sure.
But I'd like to flip this around 180 degrees if we can, because I really want to encourage people. We as Christians have a great deal to look forward to that's positive. And we have that hope and we have a new beginning. So when we look at things like CERN and D-Wave, et cetera, and the changes to DNA, which is sort of the third area of my research that I go into, when we look at this, it can be very depressing. And to think that, this is an existential threat to the human race, well, the flip side of that is we have the opportunity for a new beginning with Christ, and we look forward to the new Jerusalem that's before us. So I, as a Christian, I try to be balanced. It's tough to look at what I'm looking at, but the balance of that is looking forward to the promises given to us by our Lord.
Oh, amen. You can't kill off a Christian. We're immortal beings. So, we just changed the address temporarily, and then we're coming back here, riding on white horses. And I've been practicing for years, as an equestrian, getting ready for that. Just awesome event. It's going to happen. Flying white horses. I don't know how that's going to work, but it's going to be amazing. So
yeah, it will. It will certainly be. I think that is amazing. It's just, we see people struggling and we know what the answer is. We just wish we could reach out to people. And that's why things like the conferences are so important, that we can reach out and touch people. And also, writing books and doing shows like this. I mean, I'd have to ask you, did you ever imagine when you were a child or in your early 20s that you would be on the internet talking to the world?
Not at all. When I was a young man, I was befriended by a rock musician, Peter Gabriel, for a while, and mentored me a little. He took my first demo tapes to London for me. And he was a visionary. He imagined that a day would come when you could mix your own music, but nobody would have imagined this. Even how God calls you into things. I got ordained. I never planned on that,
yeah.
All of a sudden, the Lord said, "Okay, we're going to do." I had a guy call me from Texas. I was struggling with it because I just wanted to, play my music, do my art, and And the phone rang, and this guy said, I know you don't know me, but I know who you are, and I got your phone number from a friend. I knew he wouldn't give my number out, but, you know, this was important. And he said, well, I was praying, and God gave me a message to get you. And I said, so what's the message? He said, this is right after I prayed, God, what do you want me to do here? Somebody had offered me to be a pastor at a church, and I was really reluctant. And so this guy calls me and says, God told me to tell you that you're part of the fivefold ministry, whether you like it or not.
Well, that's part of God's sense of humor. And the fact that you're British, you can appreciate that I shared with you at the conference that I appreciate the British sense of humor. And that is how the Lord balances me out, is using the witty, very quick, very intelligent form of humor, which is British. So I totally, totally can buy into what you're talking about.
Well, you, especially with the kind of subject matter we deal with, you've got to have a sense of humor. It's like hanging out with Alain Marzulli all these years. I mean, he's got such a quick wit.
He does.
I remember growing up, when my aunties told me about gallows humor. She said it was a king of England that was about to be beheaded and said to the executioner, you know, I always wanted to meet you, but of course not under these circumstances.
And with that, his head rolls.
Yeah, right.
I like L.A. Marzulli's little quip. He says, not so fast, citizen.
Yeah, he does a lot of funny things.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't watch them. Like, you know, we were somewhere in a hotel and you know, television's on or something. He turns off the sound and does voiceovers for us.
Oh, really?
Much better than the, you know, whatever the news we're watching. So, well, let's get back on track. People are talking about the dark matter and the black holes, you know, opening these dimensional portals. What's your take on that? Is that just a theory? Or is there something to it?
Well, the portal is definitely going to open, and I take that from Revelation 9, the opening of the abyss. That they will be successful. That's the question often posed to me. Will CERN be successful? I believe yes. And therefore, why the Lord has compelled me to do this research and writing and speaking is because this is something that is going to happen very soon. Now, I'm not a date setter, but I am looking at August and September of next year as being significant because we have a rather strange eclipse coming next year. It will be in the shape of an egg, which in the Egyptian world is called the Ogdoad. Mm-hmm. Now, that will travel from Oregon down to Florida. It's pathway, the shadow that is cast. And that will cross the New Madrid fault line in the United States. And that precedes 23 September and the birthing of Jupiter. So we have a couple of signs in the heavens that we need to pay attention to. It could be indicative of a timetable for CERN's activities in opening the portal, but I'm not a date setter. It could be set 2017. It could be tomorrow. It's hard to say. But
I have people telling me they think, you know, the caught up together. I mean, I know the word rapture doesn't actually appear. Some people want to argue that it does say robatos in the ancient Masoretic text. But so if the rapture actually happens in 2017, I mean, how differently would you live your life today if you knew? I mean, think about it. Jesus said, you know, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but me. That's pretty clear that no other way is going to work. And yet we got, you know, people that are confused, which is what the enemy does, right?
Yeah. You know,
divide and conquer. And yet, I mean, we are in these days, I think, and we're supposed, as you said earlier, we're to comfort each other with this great hope. You know, I wrote a couple of books on the shroud. And I think that's what, you know, the apostle was holding up when he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but in the twinkling of an eye, you know, we'll be transformed.
Yep.
And so these glorified bodies, and then you just, you know, you just think where you want to be and you'll be there. Amazing stuff.
Well, as to the timing of the rapture, I do believe that we will be raptured prior to the opening of the abyss. What happens between now and then, only God knows. But I do believe in the doctrine of imminence, that the rapture could happen at any moment. So with that said, I think that people, when you say, if you knew the rapture was going to happen next year or at a specific time, how would you live your life differently? I might ramp up my intensity of what I'm doing, but I believe I'm doing exactly what the Lord wants me to do, whether the rapture is now or a year from now.
I came to the same conclusion when that question popped into my mind. I thought, well, I'm still going to get up tomorrow morning. I'm still going to feed my horse and feed the dog, get on with the day, going to minister to people. I do want to say, too, as we're doing these prophecy meetings, I know, we're at these book tables, and I see you over there taking as much time as necessary to encourage people and share knowledge with them. And I've just been amazed as we've gone back now over the couple of years, and people are coming back with these amazing testimonies how they got healed. Because, minister, that's what the Lord said to do, right? Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And minister to them. So I just want to encourage people listening tonight, watching this, that, everywhere we look, people are concerned how things are going to work out. Is there going to be the president-elect? Is he actually going to get sworn in? How's that going to, is it really going to happen? But we obviously are in unprecedented times. But I just offer the words of encouragement. We meditate on the word of God. It's healing to all our flesh. And he says, stay on this narrow path. That leads to life. It says, very few therein find it. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And yet, people want to put limits on him. He goes, hey, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'm going to do it. And yet people are limiting themselves, but oh, God won't do that. Well, you got to believe it to receive it. Over here, people have got this mindset, well, when I see it, I'll believe it. And God says, no, reverse that. Believe it and you'll receive it.
That is correct. It's always a test of faith because we're always learning. We're always developing in our relationship. And I'm at the point in my relationship with him where I feel like I have a constant conversation with him. And as I move along this straight and narrow path, I consider it a dusty pathway. And along the way, in his humor, he will drop these little water balloons of miracles just in front of my next step to pave the way for me, to provide what I need in the moment, not too soon and not too late, but just as I make the next step. He drops a little water balloon of a little miracle to facilitate my walk with him. And that's just my way of looking at it. I like to play with him. I really enjoy it.
He's so loving and, and you're right, but it says pray without ceasing. And you get into that. The more you draw closer to the Lord, the more it draws closer to you. And it does feel like that. I had several friends that I talk to, and I don't know if we're praying or we're having a conversation because it's just so woven together with the presence of God.
It is.
And as we go into this celebration of his birth coming up here in another week or so, whether we got the right day or not, we probably don't, but what's really at stake here is the fact that he was born, and behold, the Savior is born unto you. That's what we should be celebrating that every day. I do want to ask you about I heard you talking about these starlets. They're like the most powerful substances. What they're working with, and you see a correlation. I know I wrote about this as well. With the Tower of Babel, and where the Lord said, we're talking about, receiving, believe the receive, right? And the Lord said, behold, the people of one, they've got one language, and this they begin to do. It sounds like you would have done it like, a Hebrew guy. And this they begin to do. Now, nothing be restrained from them, which they imagine they can do. So our imaginations, I've taught a lot about taking thoughts captive, right? We got like 30,000 to 70,000 thoughts a day. How many of those are sneaking by that are poisonous to you, that you shouldn't be, meditating on? You shouldn't allow in. You should demand But build that wall, put up that border, right? The Bible talks about a city with the walls broken down, anything can come in and out. So walls, and, you know, I think we should ask for passports for these thoughts coming in. Do you have a passport? How much money are you bringing in? How long are you going to stay?
What's your immigration policy?
That's right, yeah. So that's important. But, you know, you're seeing more and more evidence. People, I mean, just everybody's talking about it now. I mean, the secular world, you know, I know Derek Gilbert wrote the foreword from my newest book, Unmasking the Future, and he talks about there's only 9% of Bible-believing Christians left now, and the rest of them have gone over to the New Age side. You know, like, why is the Church of Extraterrestrial, you know, New Age has more people going to it? Because they're so much more accepting, right? The church, for some reason, they got all these, well, you come into our church, you can't dance, and the ladies have to wear dresses, and the guys got to wear a coat and tie, whatever. They put restrictions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now we're seeing, like, bizarre cloud formations over, and CERN, you know, being that ancient, you know, place where Osiris, he's talked about Abaddon, that was apparently a very ancient site. They specifically built there. They had to have that properties like the Mount Graham thing, you know. And yet, like the Lord went up on a mountain. It was at a time event horizon with, you know, with like with the resurrection, right? So this is very possible. The scripture talks about it. And he says, you know, it's important for us to seek out the matter, right?
Right.
So maybe shed some light on that. You know, how do you see that all coming together here?
Well, I think that what we need to understand is that there's an awful lot of high tech that's going on. There are the strangelets. They're the most explosive material in the known universe is being produced at CERN, and that is a weapons program. It also has ramifications as far as the Earth itself affecting the planet. But beyond that, we look at the... really, the spiritual aspect of what's happening at CERN is what I'm really emphasizing now in my research and in my public speaking and my writings. And that's what I'll be speaking about in our next conference here in Dallas.
Dallas, yeah. Here the Watchman.
Or Fort Worth, I should say. But anyway, right here in Texas. Oh. So, yeah, the point is that this is ramping up very quickly. They have everything in place. They have the new Awake Accelerator that I talked about. That is being conjoined, and on May 8th, it will actually begin to collide particles. So the midpoint of next year, there's some major changes that will be taking place in physics, but also it will be affecting the planet in the form of earthquakes and changes in our magnetosphere and cosmic energies coming in levels that we haven't experienced before. So all of this is ramping up towards this opening of the portal. The spiritual aspect is that they are getting information from the other side that advances this agenda. They know exactly when to open the portal based upon their belief system, primarily in the constellations, in not only just astronomy, but astrology. And it is the interconnecting of planets. And I'm going to go down a little bit of a tangent. You've heard me talk about Saturn. They are actually going to reconnect electrically all of the planets in the solar system. In the spiritual world, this is the repairing of the 13th column. The 13th column in the Kabbalah presently is broken. The D-Wave computer, which is interdimensional, is the repairing, the mechanism by which they repair the 13th column, and they resurrect the head of Osiris, and they make all of these connections for the purpose of raising the dead. And that's what happens when the doorway is open. It is the raising of the dead. That's their stated purpose.
Well, you know, from our side, we do that as well. You know, Matthew 10 talks about it. I've experienced it personally as well in 2001. But you did talk about that, and I should show your book here. So people, I really encourage everybody to pick up a copy, because you wrote here with Josh Peck and Doug Woodward and Stan Deo. Did he write a forward in here? I mean, it's amazing information for anybody with curious minds that want to know what's going to happen before it happens, which is what the Lord said. That's why he said to study the book of Revelation. It's a blessing. We, you know, most churches today, it's amazing to me that they won't talk about prophecy. They don't want to talk know about healing. If you're spirit-filled, you know, somebody got in one of these major churches and stood up and said, I've got a word from God. You know, the ushers would come, especially spoken in an unknown language, right? It's a, I've got a word from God in an unknown language, and the ushers come, put you out, and, you know, the Lord specifically said, don't do that. You know, don't stifle, don't hinder the flow of the Holy Spirit, and yet they do.
And the Holy Spirit is our full armor of God. And my DNA research, the DNA will be affected. It will be manipulated. It will result in the mark of the beast. The full armor of God is provided by the Holy Spirit. And if people want to think in terms of, well, what can I do? What's tangible? What can I physically do to protect myself from what they're doing in the world of science and in the modification of DNA specifically? Well, our DNA has a resonant frequency. And when we have the Holy Spirit, it changes that frequency. And I sound new agey, but this is proven that that frequency changes. And that is because of the influence of the Holy Spirit. And they can't break through that. They can't change it.
Well, first of all, the new age stole ideas from God.
Right.
Right, because he created everything. There's been nothing without him. Okay, so they everything they're talking about, they stole from God and corrupted it. It's a corrupted idea.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, let's choose your side. You know, it's really coming down to the end. I remember I did ask you this. You know, it seems like you're one of those unique individuals that has analytical thinking, you know, skills and critical thinking that seems to be a lost art right now. The schools, you know, they're just manufacturing. I mean, it's part of social engineering, right? That they get people to not think through things very well. And I was remember when we were in Knoxville and asked you about the Mandela effect, and I thought maybe you could give your insights on that. I know there's a lot of people still writing me about it, asking, well, what do you think, Pastor, about the Mandela effect?
Well, the short answer is it is quantum pollution. This is information coming from the other side. Now, I will quote one of the founders of D-Wave Corporation, Gordy Rose, and if people will go to my website at anthonypatch.com and go to the Urgent Discoveries tab, I have several quotes from a video that's linked there of a presentation back in 2013 that Gordy Rose presented to scientists and business leaders. And he stated that when you stand next to one of their computers, it's like praying to an altar to an alien god. He also said that they are accessing 2^500 power of parallel dimensions. Additionally, he said that we are extracting resources from the other side. That's forbidden knowledge. The Mandela effect is an effect that is has a cause directly related to the interdimensional operation of the multiple models of D-Wave computers. So we have actual information and energy that is coming from other dimensions, parallel dimensions, and that is what is affecting our reality.
That's a heavy concept to wrap your mind around. And then, you know, they got the exoskeletons that they're basically the artificial intelligence. This is all part of that whole transhumanist thing, right?
Yep.
The enemy's going like, well, if I could just destroy God's creation, I can rebuild it in my own corrupted image. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
That is what it comes down to. And what you're referring to is one of the companies that Elon Musk and Tesla have invested in is a company that is building these exoskeletons, and they're using monkeys to teach the artificially intelligent computer that's tied to each exoskeleton, teaching it through building algorithms that the movements and the decision-making process of the monkeys are through the building of algorithms doing what's called deep learning and machine learning for AI. And eventually they'll remove the monkey from the programming process once the AI achieves a level in which it can self-learn. It can teach itself from the environment and its observations of human behavior.
That sounds as strange as, you know, some of the laboratories in England, you know, making hybrid creatures, because it bypasses the red tape for the pharmaceutical industry. You know, if we've got a half human, half pig, and the drug works on that, well, we can make more money.
That's right.
Does it have a spirit? Does it have a soul? You know, I mean.
Well, this is a good point to bring back the particle colliders, because there's a crossover, as I call it, a direct link to DNA research. At Berkeley, where I went to school, they have a particle accelerator. It's a synchrotron, same configuration as CERN's, but certainly smaller. And they produce synchrotron energy, specifically hard X-rays. And they use the hard X-rays to infer the shape of the folding of the proteins of our DNA. This is where the Human Genome Project came out. This is where the mapping of our genome took place, was at Berkeley. And it's using these hard X-rays. What they have been able to do now is to actually take the basic amino acids and use something akin to a 3D printer, but it's a digital synchron, I'm losing my train of thought. It is a sequencer. That's the word I'm looking for. They can actually sequence DNA utilizing a combination of software and the amino acids, and they can create designer DNA from scratch.
Like with the CRISPR thing. Yeah.
The CRISPR, okay. But it's actually beyond that. The CRISPR is simply splicing existing DNA together and creating new chains. What we're talking about here is starting with zero DNA, only the building block chemicals, and telling those chemicals through the sequencer how to apply those chemicals in a sequence that then develops into the twisted strand, the helical strand of DNA. So they are creating new forms of life, not creating life, just new forms of life, because they have a sugar substrate that they use as the growth medium to apply the basic building block amino acids to. So they're not creating life, they're manipulating it. Now, they also transmit this sequence, because it's in a digital form, a binary form. They can transmit it through the internet, through the cloud. And in essence, you could transmit it to another planet. And if that planet had the chemicals in the sequencer, you could grow the DNA on the planet, grow your astronauts if you want. So this is all present day science. It has all been proven out.
It is pretty phenomenal. As you were telling me this, I'm reminded of Daniel 3, and, you know, they get thrown into a fiery furnace and they go, look, you know, you can't do anything except God's going to allow this, right? And so we're going to just trust God no matter what you do to us. And the guys throwing them in die because it's so hot. And yet they see four figures in there and changed history. King Nebuchadnezzar says, you know, okay, we're going to serve your God, because the guys come out, they don't even smell like smoke. So even in a nuclear holocaust, I've told my congregation over the years, you know, like, if God wants to preserve you, you know, nothing the enemy could do. I'm reminded John G. Lake, he was actually going to be he was going to medical school and quit a month before to become a minister, had an incredible healing ministry. At one point, he's over in Africa, the bubonic plague's going on. The government's issuing, we'll give you $1,000. So back in 1900, you know, whatever, early 1900s, I mean, I would probably have been like $10,000 if you'll come bury the dead, because nobody could do it, they all die. And Lake goes in there with the guys he trained up in the ministry, and you know, they don't contract anything. So he actually challenges the doctors and scientists. He goes, take the mucus out of the dead man that died of, you know, bubonic plague, put it in my hands under the microscope. And so, you know, they look at the mucus, they see all the live germs happening, right? The virus is alive and well. They put it in John G. Lake's hands. He's praying in the Holy Ghost. and it dies on contact. And they repeated the experiment. So this is the thing, you know, I mean, that's the thing, you know, you got to be, just get filled with the Holy Spirit. And when, you know, when you're praying in the Holy Spirit and praying in the Holy Ghost, as one Jude says, you're actually in the frontal lobe. There's a place that only lights up on brain scans when you're praying in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work any other way. God's got, and it's healing, it's releasing healing molecules. You're probably prophesying, calling things as not as if they are, doing all kinds of stuff God wants to accomplish through you. So,
let me share with you a translation of what you just said into the world of physics, into quantum mechanics. There's a concept known as quantum entanglement, and that means that two particles at a distance can be affected simultaneously. So when we pray intercessor, when we pray to our Lord, we are actually quantum entangled with him. If people need something from physics that they can relate to, that they can be tangible with, that's what we're doing. And when Christ in the spirit manifests himself, he's a wave, an energy wave. When he manifests himself as in a physical form, he's particles. And you, in physics, there is a proven concept known as the wave-particle duality, meaning that a substance, a energy, can be a particle at the same time that a particle can be energy. Mm. So there's that duality of existence, both in physics as well as with our Lord.
That really is fantastic. I mean, that's, you know, like that time of end horizon we talked about earlier, the moment of the resurrection. You know, it's like, I'm going to leave my image supernaturally on this piece of herringbone cloth for the rest of you to realize that if anybody questions, did this really happen? Here it is, the receipt. Just like you buy something, you get a receipt, an itemized list. It shows everything I went through. Paid the ultimate price for you.
Well, let me ask you a question, because you've written about this, the Shroud of Turin. I understand that in analyzing this location of the Shroud, that the body contained in the Shroud had to have been levitating off of
the Shroud. That's
right. Is that true?
Yeah. That's what I researched, and that's what a conclusion I come to. It's like, the other thing is that, so the cloth would have, maybe you had some angels, I don't know how this worked, and they're holding it taut, like, you know, when I stretch a canvas to do a painting on it, because there's no places where it, you know, shows the body foreshortened or something. I mean, it's just all laid out there, both sides. It's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, you could give somebody the entire American deficit, and they can't reproduce it. I mean, and for people to tell me, you know, I mean, we've already proven this is not a medieval forgery. This is, you know, the proof has already come down to it. This is, you know, a piece of material from 2,000 years ago. So the evidence is overwhelming for anyone that honest takes a look at it. In fact, the editor of my last book was Barry Schwartz, who was the original scientist on the stirrup team that took all the photographs.
So, okay.
I thought I gave you that book, but I'll make sure you get a copy of it. So that's just, you know, I mean, but that's so, to me, it's so exciting, you know that this is a reality. I mean, so with all the crazy stuff on the wrong side, like with the Nazis and the Vril Society, you know, tapping into the wrong places and the wrong kingdom, and so they're getting, you know, information, things are temporarily working for them, but then they're going to end up in the wrong place for eternity, which is not a good idea. So we got understanding this, you know, this, like you said, Tulsa tapped into somehow the electricity, like the whole. So what do you think about, like, in the 1947 in Roswell, what was that? Was that manipulated? Was that an actual, I mean, I think these are interdimensional beings. These are, they look like a devil, and they talk like a devil and swim like a devil or whatever, you know, they're probably a devil, a demon. Something happens, and all of a sudden, knowledge is just, you know, we get transistor radios, and within all this incredible stuff, and then you got that guy, General Ramsey, holding a piece of paper, lying to the media. Imagine people lying to the media, and the media lying to you. And They didn't think the technology back then, you know, one day we could read what he had on his telegram, you know, where the bodies are going in the ship to the White Eiffel. Something happened there. What's your take on that?
Yeah, first of all, aliens, I do hold to the fact that they are demonic entities. I do think that when they come into our realm, into our reality, they do need a physical craft in many cases for specific purposes. Obviously, they can come through in a spiritual form as well. And I often say that you cannot separate the physical from the spiritual, but it's how they choose to manifest and whether they need a vehicle or not to do that. But I do believe from these vehicles, such as the Roswell incident, there was a great deal of reverse engineering taking place. And specifically, semiconductors, transistors, and computer chips, and also laser technology and fiber optic technology that was reverse engineered from there. But I do think that there's a certain amount of the UFO observations that we experience that are man-made. And I do think that there are black projects that have resulted in a great many of the UFO sightings. Most technology we're aware of is the tip of the iceberg of advanced technologies that are 30, perhaps even 50 years advanced.
And I've heard a couple of people tell me, I don't know how much liberty I have to share this, but you know, somebody shared with me a couple of the researchers how they were taken to a place and they were shown pains for the same gases that they're putting into in the chemical trails, the chemtrail thing, right? And the same kind of gases were trapped inside panes of window glass. And when they looked through it, they were able to see all kinds of demonic entities. And it reminded me of, you know, the scripture where the prophet and Lord says, you know, open his eyes, you know, so he can see. And then he opens his eyes and, you know, because they're surrounded by the Syrian army, and he goes, you know, we're surrounded by angelic protection.
Yep.
So, I mean, you like you said, you can't separate it, you know, the spiritual and the soul, the mind, body, it's all connected here.
Now, I had not heard that about the chemicals such as strontium and barium, lithium, aluminum, of course, being placed between panes of glass, and then they're able to observe demons. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Probably off camera when we get off there. I'll tell you more details.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. I just want to make sure I get permission to talk about it. So now I've set a room in place. well, now we're going to have to get that person on the program and explain it.
Sure. Okay.
This has gone so fast. I feel like we've just been talking for a few minutes, but we've probably only got about 5, 6, 7 minutes left. So. Whatever points you really want to make tonight with our audience, what's on your heart that you really want to, what would you really like to tell people to go away with, to take away?
I really want people to take encouragement from the information that you and I and other people like us, like L.A. Marzulli, bring forward, and to not just discount it as folly or our own hubris. I really would like people to think critically for themselves. I really would encourage people to get into the Word, to find the real truth in Scripture, and turn to the Lord if they have not. It is imperative, because these are the final minutes. It is imperative that people turn to the Lord, and if they have already, that they reach out to people within their sphere of influence, and they steer them towards work like you're doing, and that I am doing, so that if others need hard evidence, if they need another voice to plead with them, that they will listen to us. That's our mission. We're not here to make money off selling books and speaking engagements or any of that. This is an imperative that we plead to people for their souls. This is a battle for souls, plain and simple.
I couldn't have said it better myself. It amazes me to realize that most Christians have never left, they've never let anyone into salvation. They've never let them in. I mean, they're what is hindering them? What is stopping them? We should all be soul winners. When you become an ambassador of Christ, and you can't lose. I mean, Romans 8:28 says God will work it all together for good. But he does tell us, right? Watch, therefore, pray, always be counted worthy, escape all the things that are going to come to pass and stand before God. So here we are down to it. Well, there may be people tuning in tonight, you know, that haven't made the peace with God. There's people that I think probably, you know, they're still entertaining the spirits of bitterness and unforgiveness, and yet they need to come before the Lord. And he says, just confess your sins and he'll forgive you and wash you clean from all unrighteousness. So that's so vital. Would you like to pray? And just sure. Because for those that need to be edified again, and maybe those that still need to just come right now and pray the prayer of salvation.
Yes, indeed. Lord, I pray for all those that are listening to us this evening that come to you with a heavy heart and with a contrite mind, that they will open up their hearts, that they will realize that by coming to you on a humble bend knee, that you welcome them with open arms, and that this is a blessing. This is not something to resist. There's a wonderful world unfolding in front of them. And all they need to do is simply accept your Holy Spirit into their heart, and they will be transformed immediately, and their soul will be saved. I pray that they will step out of their ego, step out of their intellectual pursuits, set aside the distractions of this world, and realize that you love them. I pray for their souls. In Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I pray too, Lord, that if anybody out there is in need of a touch from you right now, I just pray in the authority that you've given us that blind eyes would open and deaf ears would hear again, and the lame would get up and walk and even dance, and that all diseases would just vanish and disappear out of people's bodies because you sent your word to heal us. So I just thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for your extravagant love that just surrounds everybody that's watching this, everyone that hears the sound of our voice or sees this online. Bless them, Father God. Chase them down. Overtake them with the blessings of Abraham. In the almighty name of Jesus Christ and his Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah. What an exciting time to be here. I mean, you think about it. We could have been born at any time in history, and God chose us to be here for this event. This is pretty exciting.
It is. It is definitely exciting. It is an amazing time to see how prophecy is just unfolding and being proven and played out right before our eyes. There's never been as much prophecy unfolding for any generation as we're experiencing.
This has been an amazing time. So just we just thank you, Lord, for taking us in the rapture.
Yes. Amen.
So, again, everybody, check out Anthony's website, and you want to give that again, and check out, you've got a number of books that people should get. They're all fantastic. I mean, you start reading them, I feel like I can't put them down. I just love the way you write, and you've got so much revelation knowledge to share. It's fantastic stuff.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's real simple. It's anthonypatch.com. Everything's there.
All right, check it out, and thank you so much. Please look on your calendar and let us know when you can come back on again. I feel like we got so much more left to wanted to talk about, so looking forward to the next time. God bless everybody. See you for another spiritual encounter, and we'll see you next week. God bless.
America, before you're bankrupt, America.